Okay, are you ready? You Canadian, you. Tell us your burden. And we're done at 4:25.
He would do that after I brought him all the way up to Canada, let him preach till he was done. Then he does that. Praise the Lord. I have a problem. Why do they call it baseball? That ball never touches the base. They fight like mad. They don't want that ball to touch the base. I've been watching what they're chasing, throwing, batting around. They won't ever let it touch the base, and they call it baseball. Strange. All right. It's good to be here with be with you folks again. Yeah, again? I guess with Pastor again. And good to meet you folks. My wife and I are missionaries in Canada, to Canada. Getting ready to go back is what we are. And when we go back, we're going to be ministering to the deaf. God has allowed us to have part in about 5 different ministries already. And we are excited about that and that they're going forward. And now that God has showed us a need in Canada that we did not know existed before. And I'll share a little bit more with that in just a moment. But I want to give my wife an opportunity to come and say a few words. Come on, sweetheart.
I couldn't decide which one to talk into. Anyway, I'm Judy Van Ness, of course, the wife of that fellow behind me there. I was raised and grew up in Michigan, not in Canada, but the Lord saw fit that I should marry a Canadian. It's a blessing for me to be here tonight to give you a little bit of my testimony. I was saved when I was 10 years old. It was through my Sunday school teacher, so I just praise God for Sunday school teachers. My parents, I don't know how you would call them, nominal Christians. They went to church maybe on Christmas and Easter time. So they didn't go very often. So my Sunday school teacher would come and pick me up for church and Sunday school. And it was through her influence that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. That's when I was 10 years old. When I became 14, I was involved with different activities, Christian youth groups, I was in the public school, and we had a Bible club in high school that we could meet after school, and we would meet after games and stuff, and that was really great. Instead of going to the dances, we went and had our Bible club meetings and would have fellowship together. I praise God that a man named Uncle Fran, the Bible man, he would hold release time classes. How many are familiar with the release time laws in America? Are you familiar with the release time laws? You don't hear much about those anymore today. Back when I was a girl growing up, it was the law that if your parents were said that you could get out of school 2 hours every week to go to religious instruction. And Uncle Fran, the Bible man, who was a wonderful Christian and a Baptist, and there was a Baptist church right across from the public school I went to, and he would hold special classes for 2 hours, Bible memory work. We'd memorize scripture. We'd hear an Old Testament story, a New Testament story. We'd sing lots of songs. And it was because of his influence that I dedicated and gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ for whatever purposes he called me to. So when I was 14, I took as my life verse Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now, I wasn't a perfect person, and I still am not, but God was gracious and taught me many, many things through high school. He kept me out of a lot of sin that I could have fallen into, and I just praise God that he kept me. And with that verse in mind, I knew that because he was at my right hand and I had promised I'd always put him before me, he would lead and guide and direct. And so I praise God that he had led me to Maranatha Baptist Bible College, where I met my husband, and we were married, and right away we had dedicated our lives to serving the Lord in Canada in church planting. We've, as my husband said, through his ministry and the work there, we've had a part in five different ministries, and now we're going back to the deaf. And the Lord has had a definite direction and hand in that. When we came back down to the States and moved into Franklin, there are many, many reasons for that. And the Lord just blessed that my daughter was learning sign language. And we brought her home because we didn't like the influence of the Christian college she was going to. So we had her come home. And a neighbor across the street was deaf. He moved in across the street and was deaf. And then as she was coming to our church where we were attending there, our church had a Spanish ministry as well, and many Spanish people would come out. Well, a senior citizen from Mexico had come up to visit her daughter and her son-in-law, her two daughters and her son-in-law and grandchildren. So she heard about our Spanish ministry and decided to bring them all to church with her. But the only problem was her two daughters and her son-in-law were deaf. So she was going to translate in Spanish sign for her hearing, for her deaf daughter, and then she, her deaf daughter, then would talk to her husband in American Sign Language. So it was really, really interesting when they got there, and then when they found out my daughter could sign, she started interpreting for them. And then I started wanting to learn more about sign, and my husband did too, and we started studying on our own through a textbook. And when we were joined back up with our mission board and went down to Memphis, Tennessee to work with our mission board and get things together for that, we met a man by the name of Alfred Redlich, and he's a deaf man who teaches the deaf Sunday school class there. And so we decided we'd go visit the deaf class since we'd been studying sign language. And when I told him where we were going and what we were doing, he just got so excited. And because we didn't know sign language very well yet, we were signing back and forth and drawing pictures on the board. And come to find out, he grew up in the same area of Canada that my husband did. And then he got even more excited. And he told us that when he went back for a vacation with his wife, that because he came down here to Tennessee Temple, met his wife, they married, and he went back up for a bit of a holiday in Canada. And he traveled from Winnipeg all over Manitoba into Saskatchewan, all around Saskatchewan, into Alberta and Calgary and Edmonton area. He said there was not an interpretive service anywhere that he could go to and understand what was being preached or said. And that really burdened our hearts. And through other research we've done, and I should let my husband tell about that, so I won't go into that, but I just thank the Lord for his blessings and that we're able to serve him. Thank you.
My 7 minutes are up. Thank you, sweetheart. There are 300 million deaf people in the world. If you were to take all the deaf people in the world, put them in one country, you would have the largest, third largest country in the world. Does anybody have any idea what country that would be? I can't hear you, sign it. The United States. For every U.S. citizen there's living in the United States today, there is a deaf person somewhere in the world. There are 30 million deaf who live in the United States. 30 million. How many here tonight know of a good, solid, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church in America where the first language of the church is sign? There's 30 million deaf in the United States. I think the figures ought to move our hearts. 30 million deaf. For every Canadian living in Canada tonight, there's one deaf person in America. If we had 30 million people and no solid, fundamental Bible-believing preaching church, would that not break your heart to go and meet their need? It has mine. Now, if I told you I was going to Japan right away in your picture, in your mind, you would have an idea of some definable boundaries of where I would minister. If I were told you I was going to France immediately or going to minister to the French in Canada, you would have some idea where I would be going. But as there are 30 million deaf in America, and to most of you, how do you see them? Who are they? Where are they? What are, they exist. They have their own culture. They have their own language. But they are actually lost. They're invisible to most of us. Until we would learn their language. Now, if I'm going to go to a French-speaking country, or let's say Japan, rather. If I were going to go to Japan, I could probably preach to most Japanese in English, because all Japanese children learn English in school. But if I were going to meet the needs of the parents or the unfortunate Japanese who are not able to learn English, what would you expect me to do as a missionary? Learn their language. Learn their language. Why? Because you best understand the gospel when it's in your mother tongue. Now, if I said, oh, well, there's enough people over in Japan that know English, I'll just get me a Japanese interpreter. Would you consider supporting me? If I said I didn't want to learn a language, I could probably get away, do that, and probably could have a good ministry. Because of the number of Japanese who know Japan and know English. You see, I can take any voice person, I can teach them English, and could give them the gospel if I had to. But it'd be better if I learned their language to talk to them in their language and learn how they think and work and logic. But you know, the deaf people in America and in Canada the same. I cannot teach them English. They will never learn to speak my language. They will never fully learn to think and logic in English. They can't do it. But yet I need to go to them. In 2 more years' time, Canada will have 310,000 deaf people in it. My wife started to say of a friend of ours that we'd met in Memphis, Brother Alfred Redlick, Christian man, born and raised in the same general area of Canada where I was born and raised, and how he took his wife and family and went up there and to visit loved ones, but traveled around looking for a church. If you lived in Western Canada, that is the province of Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, and British Columbia, that's considered Western Canada. If you lived in that area of tract of land tonight and you wanted to go to a church and you were deaf and you wanted to hear the gospel, you would have to drive from wherever you are in Western Canada, from the eastern part of Western Canada, all the way to the extreme west coast, to the city of Vancouver. And there you would find two churches, one in Victoria on the island, one in Vancouver itself, that would be able to interpret the service for you. Now, you got any idea how far it is from Winnipeg, Manitoba to Vancouver? If you get in your car in Winnipeg, get on the Trans-Canada Highway, number one, drive 24 hours. That is moving time. That does not count for potty breaks, fuel time, meal times. Keep that car moving. 24 hours. That's a lot of land to cover. Just have to get up a tad before breakfast to make it to Sunday school. The province of Alberta, the city of Edmonton, has 1 million people. Within the city limits of Edmonton, 10,000 deaf people live. With a reasonable commute to the city, it could be anywhere, and a very conservative estimate, close to 20,000 deaf people. If you are deaf and you wanted to learn an education, get an education in your language, you lived on this continent, there are three cities that they call the top three cities for deaf people to go to get an education. Number one is Gallaudet University in the Washington, D.C. area. Number two is Indianapolis, Indiana. Number three is Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. 10,000 people there. Tonight, there are at least five good, solid, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist churches in Edmonton that you could go and fellowship with as a hearing person. But there is nothing there for the deaf. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, turn there for a moment. Second Corinthians, please, chapter 5, verse 14. Let's stand together for reading God's Word. You follow along as I read. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. You know what that means, to constrain? That means to put bands around and to hold and to direct in a certain direction. For the love of Christ puts bands around me, because we thus judge that if one died, we are all then, were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of Christ, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to the world. Eternal Heavenly Father, open thy word to our hearts. Speak clearly and directly, and make us mindful of our responsibility. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The love of Christ constrains us. That's the idea of putting a band around us and holding us in a position or moving us in a specific direction. The love of Christ constrains us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The advantage of the death of Christ is for all men. And, verse 15, that he died for all, and permit for all, that they which live. When we receive Christ as our personal Savior, what does that do for us? It makes us alive in Christ. All right? Should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Look at verse 16. Therefore, henceforth know we no man after flesh. I am not talking about head knowledge here. I'm not talking about fleshly knowledge. He says, not of the flesh, not of the reasoning of the mind. Yea, though we have known Christ after flesh. When you walk up to a person and you share with that person the gospel, and he says, nods his head, he has heard you at the ears. He has a certain knowledge about God. At that point, he knows God after the flesh. It's a fleshly knowledge. It's here. It has not yet gotten here. And Paul says, after we, he's talking to us Christians, I'm talking about born again, sold out, people who know the joy of eternal destination here in their heart.
Yea, though we have known Christ our flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We're not going on a headly reasoning. We're going with a heart. And we move with that heart. All right. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, I know the transformation of a life that happens. I've experienced it some 47 years ago in just a couple of days. 48 years ago in a couple of days, I should say. That I have known him after the heart, after eternal life. I am a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. It's no longer a reasoning. It's not something I'm figuring out. It now is a life. It is a reality of the heart. I know him no more. All things become new. All things of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and made given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. If you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, there is not an option. You don't need to wait for God to send down a lightning bolt out of heaven to say you've been called to a ministry of reconciliation. Let me put that in the vernacular. You don't have to wait for God to clap you on the head with thunder to know that God has called you to be the mission field. All a missionary is a reconciliator. And if you know Christ, it is not an option. It is the natural thing to do. And if you're not doing it, then all those beholding you and watching your testimony have but only one conclusion. If you are not trying to reconcile sinners to Christ, then you are not saved. That's hard words. He says, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, verse 19, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God says, I have saved you. I have made you a reconciler. And now I'm giving you the authority, the word, to go out and do it. I want you to notice something here. Now then, we are ambassadors. What is an ambassador? It's a man whose citizenship is in one country and he lives in another, representing that country where of his citizenship is. Now, in order to be a reconciler of two opposing camps, you must know where both camps are. You must know how they live and how they think and how they reason. In order to bring them together. Now, how many of you tonight know that if you died tonight, you'd stand in the presence of God, you know you have eternal life, you are a citizenship of heaven? I'm glad to see the hands. Keep those hands up. How many of you realize that you are an ambassador of heaven and that because you used to be a sinner, you are also aware of how a sinner thinks? All right. Question. Are we the ambassador we should be? You answer that in your heart, between you and God. Verse 20 says, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. I have shared with you
some facts and figures about the deaf people in America. Let me share just a few more things about them. Of the deaf children born to hearing parents in America, 92% of those deaf children, their parents never learn their language. Folks, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that deaf people are at a great disadvantage when it comes to the gospel. Their parents, who could read the gospel, don't learn how to tell it to their children. That's sad. That's sad. As we said here tonight, and we've got a pretty good cross-reference of intelligentsia here tonight. I think most of you here were born in this country, weren't you? You lived in the crossroads of America. That's what Indiana's known for. And yet, a few minutes ago, I shared with you 30 million deaf people. And I don't know if I missed a hand or two. I hope I didn't. But no one raised their hand when I said, you know of a church, solid church in America, God, Bible-believing, that sign is the first language of church. You see, sign is the third largest language group in America. Third largest. I don't know about you folks, but I want to give you a double burden tonight. I want to give you a burden for the Canadian people and our ministry up there. You can take 8 of the state of Indiana and put them in the province of Alberta alone. That's just the area of landmass. Now, we don't have quite as many people as they have in Indiana, but that's a lot of area. 10,000 in the city of Edmonton, a larger deaf population in the city of Edmonton than there is in the city of Indianapolis. Within the 465 bypass around Indianapolis, within that circle, only 8,260 deaf people live. But I want you to see a bit of business. I don't expect you to be able to go to Canada and minister to deaf people there. I expect you to pray for me. Because, see, I'm a Canadian. The Canadians can't keep me out. But I'll tell you what, as an American, that border isn't as open as it used to be a couple years ago. It's closing. I was talking to some folks last week in a church, and a lady said to me, in fact, it was just Wednesday night, she says, I work with customs. She says, I am absolutely shocked in the last 2 years, the attitudes of the anti-American attitudes and the stubbornness of Canadians when used to be so friendly. Well, I can't explain Canadians except I are one. And we are stubborn at times. But she was saying, I'm working with them every day, and she said, I couldn't believe the attitude that's changed in the last couple of years. And particularly since the Iraq War. But folks, listen. You may not be able to go to Canada. I'll go. But I wonder tonight if you'd catch a burden for the 30 million deaf in America here. You see, deaf people can be preachers. 2 weeks ago, we were in Memphis, Tennessee. And while we were there, God opened an opportunity I did not plan. God worked it. It was all his planning. There was another missionary couple there, the Van Sands, missionaries to Ukraine. They have been in Ukraine. They know sign language, both American and Russian sign language. They have started 3 totally deaf churches in Ukraine. No, they never think of an interpreter service in Ukraine. I'll tell you why. Because in the Ukraine culture, if you are deaf, you do not go to work in a place where the people are voiced. You go to a special factory and work with deaf people. If you are deaf, regardless of your parents are hearing or not, you go to a deaf school. If you are deaf, you do not marry a hearing person. They keep those two people's cultures separate. Ukraine, it's very, very strange. He was sharing that with us. But he said they have started there in Ukraine three deaf churches. One church has over 200 members. And then those deaf people saw a burden. They said, we've got deaf people in our church that have hearing loved ones. So you know what they did? They started a hearing church. That tells me something. You know what? Deaf people can be deacons. Deaf people can be Sunday school teachers. Deaf people can be pastors. This man himself was deaf. It was wonderful to sit in that service there. And he was signing in Russian. And the missionary's wife, she was interpreting and voicing it in English. And then the Sunday school, not the deaf man, but there's another man that knows sign very well there, whose children were actually out of his children being deaf, that they had started the work there in Eastside Baptist Church in Memphis. He was hearing the lady speak it in English, then he was signing it back in sign language, ASL, to the deaf folks there. So we had the gospel going through four languages right there in a service, Sunday school hour. At the night service, the deaf man, Brother Redlick, as my wife shared with you, that gentleman got up. The pastor says, I want Brother Redlick to come and open in prayer. So he got up and he prayed in ASL. And then there was an English voicer, voiced it in English so that the folks could understand what was being prayed. And then the missionary to Ukraine interpreted the English into Russian sign. We went the complete circle. It was an exciting thing to do. But what was exciting to me is to see that deaf people do not need hearing people to serve God. All they need is the gospel and somebody to teach them. Now we've got to make that step across in America. If I could lay a burden on you. There are a few deaf churches in America. Sword Deaf Baptist Church in Mason, Ohio, has a deaf pastor. 70 people attend that church. But you know, they can't cover the 30 million. There's another deaf church, Harvest Deaf Baptist Church, in Georgia. The name of the city just fell. By the way, they have a deaf pastor. They run about 120 people are deaf. Their pastor is a Canadian, Reggie Rempel. Some of you might have heard the name. There's a new church in Campsville, Kentucky. A deaf man that's been saved. He was saved in a deaf ministry and in a hearing church in Michigan. And last year he stepped out to start a church in Campsville, Kentucky, for the deaf. So there are a few, roughly all over Canada, America, about 30 churches where they are taught in ASL. Some of them are satellited to hearing churches. Some of them stand alone. But there's no way 30 solid fundamental Baptist churches amongst the deaf people will reach 30 million. There's a need in America. As I see the scriptures tonight, I have no choice but to stand in the gap. As I under the scriptures, as we read them tonight, we just looked at a few verses. If you have been reconciled to Christ, there is not a choice about being an ambassador and a reconciliator of others to Christ. God help us to see the burden. And more so than that, God help us to say, here, my Lord, send me. Heavenly Father, I have tried to share in a few moments with these folks two things. Number one, the way you think about their salvation and the responsibility that is theirs. Number two, the great need for an invisible mission field for all practical purposes to our human eyes, invisible, quiet, silently waiting, lost in sin, for somebody to come and show them that Jesus cares. We do not have to travel to another country, but we can begin right here in our own back door. I say, Lord, I know I'm an ambassador. I am a reconciliator. Show me who I can reconcile to you, be it hearing, be it deaf. But hear my Lord, send me. Speak to our hearts in the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.